This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Big Bear Mark.
This is Luke the Wonder Cub.
And this is a podcast for Brekkie Bears
on Joy 94.9.
You're on the Brekkie Bears this morning, and he's a bit of a bear icon, I have to say, and I'll talk about that to Shane in a second. This is Shane Jacobson. Shane, how are you going?
I'm great, mate. How are you?
Good. Look, the show is called Brekkie Bears. Do you know what a bear is?
I do. It's not the first time I've been told I am one. I'm honoured.
Good. Yeah, I think, when Kenny came onto the scene, when the movie came out, I think you immediately got hundreds of bear fans around the world.
I know. There was a guy in Canada who set up a website or something with me on it. I think that was my proudest moment, going, I'm internationally a bear. There was a nice ring to that.
Oh, yeah, you're an international bear sex symbol. How does that sound?
Yeah, so that's the reason I get flattered by it. I'm a straight man, but I tell you what, the attention's nice. You never want to be without the attention like that. And, it's all a compliment. So, no, a lot of my gay buddies, I've got half that said, no, it's time for me to lose some weight and get properly sexy. And another gay mate of mine who said, I need you to put on a bit more weight. You're getting too thin, so
yeah,
I'm torn.
Don't you dare lose weight. No, that hasn't happened.
That's why this is the show I want to be on, not these other ones that think I've got to lose weight. I don't want to be part of that.
Exactly. No, it's no good. No good at all.
What a love.
Look, I suppose I better talk about your acting career and your writing career, because you've been an actor, director, writer, comedian, and I mean, I just mentioned Kenny, and obviously I think people have this perception is that's when you really came onto the scene, but you were on the stage since you were 10, weren't you?
Yeah, even 8 was my first memory, or my mum's one that reminded me I was 8. But yeah, you're right, on stage properly from the age of 10. It was, and I guess like any pursuit, be it sport, be it art, or be it singing, or whatever it may be, racing car drivers, you name it. I think the one thing that seems to be pretty common, and sports the obvious one to go to, I guess, with things like golf and everything else. When you look at people who do it professionally, you'll find quite often the common thing is that they've been doing it since they were young, and it takes, especially any pursuit that takes a while to dare I say, get towards the top of the game. And yeah, I started when I was 10 and always wanted to entertain. I love the idea of dancing, singing, doing comedy and acting. I love it all. And I got a thirst for it very, very early. So yeah, I actually, the film Kenny came out when I was 36 years old. I'm 44 years young now.
Yep.
But I was sort of 35 when we started making it. And so by the time it came out, I was about 36, and it means it took me 26 years to get to the point that I was able to get full time work. So I think that makes me really crap at it.
No, I wouldn't say that. I mean, and that's the subject of your book. You wrote a book about it as well.
Yeah, it was called The Long Road to Overnight Success, because it was that thing that we all know that expression, shot to stardom, or you came out of nowhere, and you think I do get how that would feel like that to the public, because it is true. I did for the public, came out of nowhere, but it's that thing when you're the individual who's. And I always say, again, sport's kind of the easiest analogy I find. When a young kid walks out onto a football field or, onto a soccer field, and someone goes, here comes the rookie of the team, you'll find out at the point they've walked onto that field, they've probably been doing it for 10 years. They'll only be 15 years old, but they started really kicking a ball with their dad, 10 years ago. And when you think about the fact that, a doctor, a pilot, a surgeon, they don't train for 10 years. You know what I mean?
That's right.
No one wants to be a lawyer, and they decided at 18 they want to be a lawyer. By the time they're 28, they are a lawyer,
That's it. Yeah, but I suppose
getting ready for a sport, you go out on the field as a rookie.
Yeah, and with acting, you just never know. I mean, you can go your whole life and get the big break when you're 70 or something,
Yeah, I know.
But, but look, since Kenny, you've just done so much work. I can't believe it. Obviously, you've appeared in films, like some of my favourite. I loved Newcastle. That was an amazing film.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, what's that? Not another one of those films that kind of went under the radar a bit. But yeah, it was. I did that not long after Kenny, and yeah, it was a great film. I love that film, and of course in it, Xavier Samuels, who plays one of my sons. He plays my gay son in that film. He's gone on to, you know, he was in Twilight. You know, he's got an incredible career. But that was his first film then, yeah.
It's amazing. And look, I mean, not only acting, but, you know, on stage for productions like Guys and Dolls, and you won a Helpman Award for Best Supporting Actor in a Musical.
Yeah, thanks, mate. Yeah, it was, yeah, no, look, I love, because the stage was my, you know, as we say, the stage was my first love, you know. Yeah. That's where it all began for me. I love doing live theatre, and I've just finished doing a play, Mother and Son, and you know, I've done Drowsy Chaperone with Jeffrey Rush. I've had, you know, been blessed. You know, did Shane Warne the musical with Eddie Perfect and Lisa McCune and all that gang, and you know, I feel, you know, blessed to have had the opportunities to keep returning to the stage because I do. I love it, and Guys and Dolls is undoubtedly, I think, I don't have to convince anyone of this, is one of the classics, and so
it is.
To get a chance to be in that, and I know the production company in Melbourne just did it again, and it's just the music in it. It's one of those musicals, you know. And as we all know, there's some musicals you can name them, and you go, you know, what was the hit song in that one, or what were the two hit songs? But Guys and Dolls, it's filled with them. It's just filled. Luck for Your Lady Tonight, Guys and Dolls, Fugue for Tin Horns. You can go through most of the songs, and go, oh, yeah, of course, oh, God, that's in it. You know what I mean? It's just, it's filled with it. You know, it really is. You know, if it was a restaurant, it does have a very good menu.
It does indeed. And look, it might seem like I'm skipping from subject to subject here, but you've done so much stuff. It's amazing. Like, I want to talk about Paul Hogan for a second as well.
Yeah, of course.
Because it seems like you've got a very special relationship with Paul Hogan. Of course, you starred in Charlie and Boots with him. But you've just recently did a documentary on him as well.
Yeah, on it called Hanging with Hoes. Yeah, it's me spending time with Paul. It's only just come out on DVD now through the ABC bookstores. It's it was me. Well, number one, Paul's story is more than worth telling. You know, he's undoubtedly an Australian icon. You know, for in the entertainment industry as well as, you know, he sold Australia to the world. Now, I don't have to tell most people what Paul's done because people know. But I thought it was time to do that. And in Paul's own words, he's too lazy to write a book. And so we did this doco. And it was also the other thing too, as a friend of his, it sort of annoyed me is the word. I'd love to say saddened because that sounds more romantic, but it used to annoy me that every time Paul's name came up, people just went, oh, tell him to pay his tax. And I thought, for the amount of things he's done, and for the standing he used to have, it's such a pity that this he was accused of doing, of in some way doing wrong by the tax department. That's now been proven to be wrong, and five times it's been thrown out of court. Now that's over. Thank goodness it's been proven.
Thank God, yeah.
Over. And but yeah, it was just trying to remind people what Paul was famous for, and that's being incredibly funny and being one of our biggest exports ever, and the man that put Australia on the map with tourism in the world's most successful ever tourism campaign. And so successful, it's in the Smithsonian Institute as the most successful tourism campaign of all time. And even when he did that, you know, Australia was, some people were giving him flack saying, he said shrimp, and he had to point out, we're selling Australia to the Americans, not to us.
Exactly.
We know where Australia is. And they say shrimp. If you say prawn, they won't get it. So, it was just great to be able to go, let's go out and have a chat with Paul and celebrate his life. And we did that, and I'd love to think we did it really well.
Yeah. Look, I mean, the other thing I want to touch on, you are known for being a bit of a bloke's bloke as well. Obviously, you've done Top Gear, and you also did a show on Go called...
Yeah, Manspace.
Yes. What's the deal with that? Is that just a bit of a thing that you'd love doing? Is that a bit of a... You got a passion for cars and blokey stuff like that?
You know, I don't consider myself a rev head, but what I do consider myself is a motoring enthusiast. So I have some old cars. I've got an old E.H. Holden and an old H.J. Kingswood. In fact, the Kingswood's the car we used in Charlie and Boots, the film I did with Paul Hogan, and I took that car after the film and had it fully restored. So I like old cars, you know, and I am, you know, definitely a motoring enthusiast, but I'm not that guy you're going to see at the corner outside your house doing burnouts at 3 a.m. That's not me. That's not what I do. But I do race cars. I've got a racing license, Cam's racing license. So I do actually race cars, and I was in the Australian Rally Championship, and I raced Bathurst last year at an event there. So I do like my cars, and the Manspace thing, that show on Go that I did, Harvey Silver, who I was the executive producer of it with Harvey Silver, and Harvey was famous for starting the Footy Show on Channel 9. We it was actually about, you know, we like celebrating You know, everyone talks about man caves, but it's actually more than that. What we wanted to celebrate was, dare we say, the backyard hero, the suburban champion, and people that have hobbies and interests. And it's not about having big car collections because they've got money. We knew a guy who built an 18th century tower in his back garden, and a guy that built a telescope in his front garden, that literally, you know, a huge telescope, like a planetarium, a huge dome. And people, you know, I love people that have a passion for anything, is the truth. And I think when you talk to someone who's got a passion for something, whatever it is, they might collect stamps, they might collect tram tickets, it could be anything. But even though you might go, oh, that sounds a bit nutty, once you start to talk to them, someone that has a real passion for something, as soon as they start to talk about it, if they know their subject well, you'll find you get enthused by it. And I love that about people. I love that thing that, you know, anyone that might collect, you know, my mum with spoons, you know, you go, oh, spoon collections, it's so old hat. But then you start to talk about it and you start to look at some of the spoons and there's stories behind it. Before you know it, you're entrenched in their story. And that's what we love. That's what we think doesn't get celebrated when someone says a man cave. It sounds so much like it's a blokey thing that excludes people and says women stay away and, you know, this is for men and all that kind of stuff. And I've found it's actually not the case. And in fact, some of the spaces that men inhabit are inclusive. It's where them and their wives and their kids spend, and it's where the father has, you know, my stepfather collects little toy cars, and he used to collect cameras, like old cameras, and that's not a blokey. Well, that's old cameras, and it's, you know, there's something very romantic about that. So, yeah, the show Manspace was actually about celebrating some of the people that collect things. One of the guys on the show, he collects Irish linen tea towels.
Wow, that's different.
I know.
And I have to say, you mentioned this a little while ago, but the Kingswood, I used to, my favourite car that I ever had owned was a Kingswood HZ. And it was jasmine yellow, but I loved that car. It was absolutely brilliant.
And see, my I've got friends that really don't care at all about cars at all. But if I put them in that EH hold and they go, oh, this is fun. This reminds me of being with my grandfather or my father or an uncle who was like, you know, my hero, or my auntie used to drive me to church in this. You know, all of a sudden the stories do flow. And I do love that about cars. Like, you know, it's like going to an old town sometimes. It brings memories back.
Yeah, I have to admit, I've got a few stories about my Kingswood when I went to college in Wagga Wagga, but that's another time.
So we probably can't talk about that on air, I imagine.
No, probably not.
By the way, they're memories and they sound like they're good ones.
Yeah, they are indeed. And look, I mean, talking about blokey things, this is probably way off the track, but I have to mention the Great Australian Bake Off.
Yeah, please.
I am obsessed by the show. I'm obsessed by the English version of the show.
Yeah.
Are you doing a second season? Because I want to come on as a contestant.
No, we're not. And again, never say never. You never know whether it comes back. But yeah. We had a ball with that, mate. We had a ball. It was the contestants were great, and they could really bake. I mean, they were. I'm not a great baker, and I wasn't on the show for that. You know, when Channel 9 and me were chatting about it, you know, I said, look, I'm not a great baker. And they said, you don't have to be. It's almost like the big tent we had out at the Werribee Mansion.
Which was beautiful down there as well.
Stunning. I mean, that place is just beautiful. And not that I've ever forgotten it, but God, I got reminded very quickly when we got down there again. But it's the thing is that you know, they just said, you know, kind of the tent becomes my house, and it's like having all of your friends come around and bake for you. And, you know, my job is to not pretend that I'm a great baker, but to actually kind of make sure that, you know, and I loved the brief I got. I've never had a brief like it, and I would suggest I probably won't get another brief like it again. That came from the producers of the Great British Bake Off, and it said for me as a host, because I was a host, not a judge, number one, you should love the bakers, and number two, love the bakers, and number three, love the bakers.
Oh, fantastic.
And I just went, that as soon as I read that, I went, I'll be a part of this. Because what I loved about that, it was actually telling us there's no need to go digging or annoying or, you know, trying to create controversy or backstabbing, all that. If it happens naturally, it'll happen. But, you know, for the most part, we just want to love the bakers. And if they love baking and the show celebrates it, yes, they're going to be judged. They will.
Yeah.
There will come a moment when there's going to be heartache and heartbreak and all that, because they're going to be judged and no one likes to lose. And so that will happen. But I love the fact that me and Anna Gere, who's just one of the Earth's great people, she's an angel.
Yeah.
That we're allowed to just love the bakers and enjoy time with them and kind of back them up and kind of support them a bit, to be honest. And
did you get to taste all the baked goods as well?
I don't have a sweet tooth. I know, it's insane. But my weakness like truly my weakness is things like when they talk about pies or sausage rolls. I mean, for God's sake, look at me. I got here. I got this shape somehow.
I'm in the same boat. I know exactly what you're talking about.
And they did sausage rolls, but mate, they would do like because there was at the start. There's like 10, you know, bakers there, and they'd all do like two different flavors. And they, none of them would do just a normal pie. There was like lamb and rosemary and mint and all these things. So there was like 20 different flavoured pies. Well, you can't not try each one of those.
No, of course. You've got to try all of them. Look, I did want to quickly touch on, you just finished running Mother and Son. And also, Time of Our Lives is coming out on DVD, season 2.
Yeah, it's out now. Yeah, it's in stores now. It's funny because the Paul Hanging with Hogs just came out and season 2 of Time of Our Lives. So they're both in there at the moment. We just finished season 2. We're not sure if we're going again. We've got to wait to find out. But, you know, I'm incredibly proud of that show. Time of Our Lives was a joy. The cast of all very, very dear friends and that I happened to work with. It's a rare breed.
Yeah, amazing. I mean, I just absolutely love Claudia Kavan. Tell you what, if there was a woman I was going to switch for, it would be her. Oh, she's amazing.
Yeah,
she's absolutely amazing. And look, it's a brilliant cast, so congratulations on the show.
Yeah, thanks, mate.
And look, I mean, obviously, are you going to be touring with Mother and Son, or is...
It looks like it's going to tour. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to go with it is the truth, but it looks like it might tour to other states soon.
Brilliant. Look, it's been an absolute pleasure talking with you today, Shane. Look, next time you're in Melbourne, come into the studio and have a chat, and I'd love to talk to you more, mate. It's been absolutely brilliant.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Shane.
See you, Mark.
Cheers.
This has been a podcast for the Brekkie Bears on Joy 94.9.
If you like our podcast, why not rate us on iTunes and Stitcher? Woof grr.
Woof grr.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.